Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. I've been following the story of the independent film As You Are for many months now, and now that I've finally seen the movie, I'm thrilled to have the chance to ask its director and co-screenwriter about it. The film is based in and around the Capital Region, with references to Washington Park and another local radio station, but it's not merely a fun game of Albany geography. With a backdrop of violence, it's a serious, sober coming-of-age story about two emotional teens, their friends, and their volatile families.
He has a son about your age.
You smoke?
Yeah.
Cool. So you guys clicked immediately?
Yeah. We were into a lot of the same stuff.
Like what?
The movie won the U.S. Dramatic Special Jury Award at the Sundance Film Festival, and tonight marks its Albany premiere at 7 p.m. at the Spectrum. It's a benefit for the Youth FX program, which gave Miles Joris Perrafitte his start. Miles, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me.
How's it feel being back in town with a film?
It's amazing. It's so exciting. Madison is my co-writer who I grew up with here and, you know, sort of started making movies with at like six. We used to go to movies at the Spectrum, you know, three times a week. And now to be able to come back and have a film that's playing there is incredible.
Well, that shows good parenting, I think, that you were going to the Spectrum so much.
Yeah. Definitely lucky in that sense. My parents were definitely cinephiles.
So one of the questions that came to my mind while watching this film is you're a little bit, you know, younger. You're from a different generation than the kids in this movie. So why did you want to set it in the kind of grunge era of the 90s?
Yeah. I think for me, you know, this is my first film, and that's a really scary thing to do. And when I was sort of looking at the story that we wanted to tell and the way that we wanted to tell the story, you know, everything that you build around that, whether it's the time period or whether it's the cast or the locations or whatever it is, all of those things sort of become the tapestry for the action in the film. They sort of become the thing that influences what's going on without it being said all the time. I don't know if that makes sense, but for us, setting it in the 90s allowed us to make a certain kind of film that wouldn't be able to be made if it was set now. I think what the kids are going through is something that's very common. You know, it's something that kids were going through in the 90s. It's something that kids are going through now. It's something that kids were going through and probably will for a long time. Yet the way that we cope with those things now and in the 90s are very different. You know, now they're sort of, the internet has sort of become this resource, also this really scary thing at the same time, but kids can reach out and find communities of people who are like-minded, you know. Music is sort of more democratized in that way. So in that way, the coping mechanism for these kids who feel like they're lost or feel like they're going through something have changed. And the movie we wanted to make was about these people finding each other when it is only, you know, when that's their only outlet, that's the only resource. And to show that those relationships and that love and that, you know, hesitation and all of those things through the actual interactions between people instead of through this sort of device, you know, through the phone or through the internet or whatever it is. Also, the 90s comes with like a kind of cultural context that was really helpful for us in establishing the sort of values that these kids are up against. You know, coming out of Reaganism and like the reestablishment of like family values and gender roles and all of these things. These are kids who are directly trying to define themselves in opposition to that. And their parents are people who are trying to define themselves within that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's immediately a collision. And that, you know, being able to set it then sort of allowed us to play in that sandbox a little bit more.
Which I appreciated. I know those kids. You definitely have a way with actors. How did you about working with the actors in the film to get the performances that you wanted? Because I kind of grew up a little bit before you, and I definitely recognize those kids from the 90s.
Yeah, well, it's funny. It was really, working with the actors was definitely one of the things that was most scary for me going into it because, you know, I had never done that. I had never worked with adult actors. I had never. It ended up being really easy because the people that we cast were like really incredible people and like really incredible actors, but also people who are willing to give themselves over to this thing, which is crazy. I mean, I was 22, Madison was 21. We never made a movie before. There was no reason for them to trust us. but they did and gave kind of everything. So a lot of the time it was just allowing them to sort of occupy those characters and allowing them to sort of make the decisions of how they wanted to do things and obviously be there to guide them and sort of sculpt it and have a sense of the overarching piece. But when you have, like, you know, Charlie and Owen and Amandla, who are the three main leads, when you have a group that's so cohesive, that loves each other so much as human beings and spend so much time together, I mean, like, they would nap together, like, in the same bed watching documentaries on Nirvana together. Like, they just became inseparable. And when you sort of have that connection, then for me, it was kind of about getting out of their way to a certain degree, you know, and setting up the camera and letting that experience and their dynamic play out in a way that was going to, you know, help us tell the story.
I'm not going to spoil it for people who want to see the film, but there's an ambiguous ending, so you mm-hmm. can read it one of two ways. As a screenwriter and as the director, did your understanding of the ending change in this process at all? Did you ever flip, you know, what happened in your mind?
I didn't flip necessarily, but the thing that we've been finding really interesting about it is that it is definitely as you said, it's not the clearest, sort of most concrete ending, and for us that was always the point. The thing that we didn't realize was that people who watch it were all going to be very certain on their ideas of how it ends, which is interesting. Like, you know, I'll watch people come out of the movie and couples be arguing about it because, like, one person thinks, like, no, this is definitely what happened. The other person thinks, no, this is definitely what happened. And that's been really cool. For us, it was more about, we just wanted the movie to let these kids live on their own terms and not try and define everything and not try and define everyone, because we think that that's sort of the issue that these people are going through. So for us to then do that would be, you know, we would be complicit in that. So yeah, it hasn't changed as much, but I've definitely heard, like, other possibilities or ideas or theories that's been really exciting and are definitely just as valid as anything else. You know, it's a movie about memory, and part of it has to do with the way the movie sticks with you in your memory and the way that when you're thinking about the movie, you reconstruct the series of events and things. So it's sort of built for that.
I understand you're making another film now that you're shooting in Poughkeepsie. What did you learn about the process of filmmaking from your first film, you know, a lesson that you're taking into your future movies?
Ooh, yeah. I think that I was really, there were a lot of things that were really scary the first time I went to do it because I didn't know what the hard things were going to be, you know. I think that's something, yeah, I was really preoccupied with this idea of, you know, what is a director's style or, like, what makes a director's style or signature or whatever. And I was like, you know, looking at my favorite directors and being like, I don't know what it is about these directors, but I always know when it's their movie. But what is that? You know, it's like the Duende or something. Like, you don't know. So that was something that I remember when we were going into shooting. I was just horrified. I was like, what if my style is just bad? What if that's the style? And then you sort of get more comfortable and realize that actually I'm not sure, I could be wrong, but the style is your personality to a certain degree. The way that you communicate with human beings on a set that are all working together, make something, is at the end of the day sort of what the tone of the film begins to take, I think. And for me, part of that meant that I want to people who are working on the sets to be happy, you know, and to be excited and to really be committed to making this film and understand why they want to make this film. And that's everyone from the actors to the DPs, you know, to the grip, to the PAs. That sort of morale and, like, camaraderie and strength to go in and do this thing that's really hard, that's what I sort of, you know, you always know that that's important, but when you're actually doing it, you realize, like, oh, that is the most important thing.
So have you settled on what you think your style is now, you know, for your next film? Can you make a shot and say, yeah, that's me?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think that ever, like, I think that there are definitely things when you, like, see as you are, there are definitely things where you see, okay, well, this is something this person likes, you know, and I definitely have specific tastes and like certain things, and I'm attracted to different things, but I think it gets dangerous when you start trying to put your stamp on it or start trying to, you know, make this is mine. This is, you know, it, that's why I'm saying I think it's more about personality, because it's more about how you interact with everyone who's making this piece and how you sort of handle all those personalities and how you sort of guide all those voices into one succinct piece. That's where the style comes from. It's not as much from like, okay, this, it's going to be this kind of shot or that kind of shot, or we're going to, you know. I don't know. That I think at least.
So I mentioned in the introduction that this got a special award at Sundance. What was that process like? So it's your first movie. You take the movie to Sundance Film Festival, and then the whole film world is taking notice of the film.
Yeah, I mean that was crazy. we didn't think we were going to get into Sundance at all. That was like a lie, basically, that we had like told producers and people just to take us seriously of like, no, this movie could go to Sundance. Like, that was never a thing we thought could happen. And then even less so when we were shooting, because we shot September to October 10th, and the deadline was October 30th. So we had 20 days, and then like something happened, so we couldn't edit, start. We had 15 days to cut the movie for Sundance. So even then, it was like, okay, word, this is just not something that's ever going to happen. And then it did, and I thought they had been pranking. You know, I thought it was like a prank call someone made saying we got into Sundance, because I was like, we turned in like a 2.5-hour cut. We were like, there's no way this is going to work. So then that was just kind of like began a series of like crazy dream come trues. And going to Sundance was incredible. I felt really bad because me and my buddy were like at the, you know, it was the year Birth of a Nation was winning everything. Mm-hmm. And there were so many amazing movies that year. It was like very intimidating. So me and my friend were kind of sitting in the, like, we were calling the loser's corner, because we were like, oh, we're never, like, there's no way this festival gives either of our films anything. And then I was very embarrassed when they did, because me and my friend had been like in solidarity. But it was incredible. And people really, I think that it took that for people to look at the film again and to actually go see it. Because when we went to Sundance, no one knew about it. You know, we made the film in a vacuum. No one in the industry had heard of it. No one wanted to put their clients in it. So then when we sort of got that validation, it opened up a lot for the film and a lot for me as a director.
As more and more success comes to you, you know, there's a term of like the sophomore slump in filmmaking. And how do you retain the artistic vision that you began with once it becomes more professionalized?
Well, I think you do everything to make it feel not professionalized, you know. at least for me, I like that. I mean, I've been making movies with Madison, my buddy, since we were like 7. So it's just what I want to be doing. I try not to think about it in terms of my sophomore film, and there is pressure on that for sure. And this next film is much bigger and is sort of a lot scarier to sort of do. But I think you just kind of have to focus on what that impulse is, you know, that sort of driving impulse to tell a story and why it is you want to tell that story. And what's the best way to tell it? You know, if at this stage of my career I'm worried about what everyone else is going to think about it, then I'm not really going to do anything that good. You know, that said, I'm terrified of what people are going to think about it, but I have to tell myself not to be, you know.
Will you stay in the screening tonight at the Spectrum? I mean, do you watch it again for the umpteenth time? Or
no, I don't. I don't. But I think it's more because I'm going to do a Q&A after I'll introduce it. But I always think that people are just, if I'm in the movie theater, that everyone else is going to be uncomfortable, mm-hmm. especially if there are people who don't like it. You know, like if someone doesn't like the movie, I don't want to make their experience even worse by me being there. No, also it's just, I've just seen it a lot of times.
Do you know how many?
How many times I've seen it?
Yeah.
Well, the cutting process was so insane.
Yeah.
And we had to watch it down a lot then. I actually haven't sat through the whole thing since Sundance. That's not actually true. I did watch it one other time. And the last time I watched it, I realized I liked it, which was a nice, because the first few times I saw it, I was like, I hate it. And then the last time I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. I like this.
Miles Joris Perafitas, the co-screenwriter and the director of As You Are, which is getting its Albany premiere tonight at the Spectrum at 7 o'clock, and there will be a Q&A after the fact. I'm so glad I finally got to see the film, even though you dogged my beloved Pearl Jam just a little bit in it.
That's also Madison, my co-writer's favorite. That's a fight that we've always gotten into together.
I'm so excited to see where the movie goes from here and what you do next, and you'll have to come in and see us next time.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. No, you can't fill anyone's bottle on the loop. And you
can't sleep under no Appalachian moon. And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.